Brand new sound we bringing to you. Try to make y'all go crazy. It's only right. All right, let's get to it. Do you want a sponsor? Hey. Hey, Thomas. Hey.
My favorite time of the week, Osi.
Ask me if I'm drinking full fat Coke. If I'm drinking full fat Coke.
What did Simon
body,
ask you?
Tell my me body what... is a temple. My body.
Bro, we just started recording, so what did Simon ask you? What was your response?
Ask me if I'm drinking a full fat Coke. Like I would put full fat Coke in my body. No, all I want is aspartame and all the and all the cancer inducing. Okay, let me just tell you the truth.
I want to hear the truth.
You know, I used to be like 280 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I still wanted the taste of soda, but I didn't want the calories. And so I started to drink diet soda.
Yep, yep.
And what I found was I actually prefer the taste of Coke Zero to regular Coke. So now I actually tried to drink regular Coke. It just doesn't taste good to me. So now all I can drink is Coke Zero.
All right. Valid argument. We're looking for sponsors. And you're keeping it real. You like Coke Zero.
Yeah, I do. I'm a Coke Zero guy.
There's no problem with that. Should we even restart the podcast?
Yeah, we got to remove that. Simon's going to remove that. Simon's going to remove that part.
God, let's remove that. Simon, you got to check that out.
Yeah.
We don't edit this podcast a lot, but we just had to edit something because was talking out of line.
It's okay.
Before we get going on some of the things we're going to talk about, I'm very excited because you gave me some homework.
Yeah.
The homework was, Jay Bell, you need to go watch The Manosphere. So I did my homework. But before we get into that, it's funny. I get a text message from my college roommate out of the blue, OC. And I want to know if this happens to you.
Yeah.
Somebody remembers a story and they reach out to you.
So
he hits me and he goes, yo, Jay Bell, I was just talking to my kids. Is it true? Do you remember this happening? I said, what's the story? He's like, did you cover MC Hammer out in the parking lot of the dorms? I tripping? I said, yeah, it happened.
You lying, Jay Bell. You strapped up MC Hammer?
I totally forgot. He told me, he said, did MC Hammer route you up? And I said, he could have. I don't remember if he caught the ball. But he was outside in front of the dorms. He had a Hummer. He was bumping. One of our teammates who was into music knew him. So he came out there. And dude just start covering him. He started running routes. You know, he was cool with Dion and all that. So
yeah.
And he's athletic. For real, bro. I had totally forgot, man.
What a story, bro. Like, how do you leave that out? Like, I would be talking about that every day.
I forget these things.
Yeah.
And people bring them up and you're like, whatever. I remember before the game in Spain, my boy was coaches for Washington. And he came up and he was like, man, I tell these boys all the time about when you used to be in the piles trying to break people's ankles and stuff. He said, I never heard a grown man scream like that. You had that man under the pile tweaking his ankle. I was like, I'm tripping. I forgot about that.
Unbelievable. Speaking of Hammer, I heard something that maybe you can elaborate on. I don't know if this is true or not. You know, MC Hammer used to make that, you know, almost like pop music in a way.
Yep.
But I heard he was like one of the biggest gangsters.
They said he was not to be messed with.
Yeah.
They said he was, his crew was tough. You know, he's from Oakland, California. They were like, this dude
but
is not to
see
be.
It, though. Like, I know.
You remember Jodeci?
Yeah.
They said them boys was bad.
They like this.
Oh, they said it. So out there singing, cry for you tonight, and then beating you up in the club.
You know, hold up. Wait, Nate Dogg.
Yeah, Nate.
But he was like,
Long Beach is finest. Really like yeah. Dude, these dudes.
Run up on them if you want.
Hey, R&B singers, you better not sleep on some of these dudes. You can be sensitive and tough, for sure. 100%. And after watching The Manosphere, they probably need to turn on a little R&B.
Yeah.
My goodness, OC, I was shocked.
Mm-hmm.
I was disturbed, but I understood.
What shocked you the most?
How obvious the grift was. These guys are individuals who monetize rage. They monetize rage. They have the ability to feed off of anger, individuals' anger, whatever it comes from, usually exploiting an insecurity. And ultimately, OC is turning it into products. Objectively, I'm trying to figure out what's the grift. And the grift is, we are going to tell you all of these problems you have, keep you locked in at this feverish pace, and then we are the ones that have the hidden knowledge. We're the ones who can solve these problems. Follow us, do what we do. You will then overcome these challenges. In reality, we're all looking for community and connection. Our sport has done that to us. And a lot of these guys, especially when they locked in on the followers, you were looking like, hey man, these people are just trying to find their way, their path. And these vultures are taking advantage of that. So the main thing, OC, they say they're against, they are the charisma, they're charlatans, the matrix, right? Oh, the matrix is this, that. They're building their own matrix to now exploit this audience. They're just trying to find a way to grift money. There's much more nuance to that, and I want to go into that with you, but yeah, that's off the top.
So as a lot that I can say, and I will say, because I'm not going to I think hold my tongue in this particular subject.
Please don't.
So what I've realized about society in general is you have fringe elements on both sides. But most people generally are somewhere in the middle, and oddly enough, can be swayed to go in both directions. Ultimately, what you have here is the same thing that I think we've seen in political movements. Let me give you an example.
Okay, I like where you're going.
I'm just going to start back in like mid-2000s, right? You had George Bush. You had all the things that happened under his presidency, the war in Iraq, stock market crash, and all that type of stuff, right? And I believe that because of those things that happened, we were able to see a black president come into office, specifically because of those things that people were now like, okay, Obama comes with a new message, hope, all
Hope
this
change, all, yep.
change, all that type
All
of
the
stuff.
slogans, yeah.
And simply because of that, Obama becoming president, right? But what happens after Obama becomes president?
Yeah.
Okay, you have the hope, you have the change, you have all that stuff going on, right? But then you have people looking at that, they're like, wait, hold on now. This ain't the America that I want. This ain't the America that I'm talking about. This is the swamp. This is the establishment. And who comes in?
Yeah.
Donald Trump. I believe that the only way Donald Trump has become president is because Obama was in there before him. It just oscillates. So why do I say that? In terms of this manosphere movements and these things that we see happening, as women have increased their status, as women have increased all the things that they're able to accomplish, as women continue to climb the societal ladder, they become more discerning. They're just not going to take nonsense from a lot of men now, right? Because of the standards that women now have, and a lot of men aren't able to meet, a lot of men have been left behind. A lot of men have been put in a situation where they feel like they can't compete. They feel like they're not able to accomplish anything in this world. And then what happens, J-Bell? You have these particular grifters come in. And what do they tell you? Nah, lift weights. Those women belong in the kitchen, blah, 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 blah. And it becomes like an appealing message to these men who literally feel that they don't have anything. They feel like, women are in control now. Women are taking over everything. They have nothing left. And so now that message appeals to them. But rather than us being in a situation where we're able to understand each other, again, for whatever reason, you have fringe elements on both sides. You have a reaction to ultra feminism, which is this. And then what do you do with that? You go to hyper masculinity, which is what the manosphere is. And both of them are quite frankly, wrong. we don't have the ability to meet in the middle for whatever reason. We just continue to oscillate back and forth. And I think that is the problem. That is exactly what is going on in this manosphere nonsense. It's people who are reacting to something, reacting to a feeling. And it's quite frankly, disgusting in my opinion, the way they're going about it.
So when I listen to you, right, I try to empty my mind. All right. That's why I love our conversations. I try to go, don't think. Hear, listen. When it's over, then respond. As soon as you finished, the first thing that popped in my head was, yeah, OC, somebody has to be their enemy. That is the genesis of their belief. So when I think about it, right, who are they attacking? They're definitely anti-feminist at their core.
Mm-hmm.
They're attacking weak men. Lift weights. You know, we'll tell you who's strong. Gay men. They're attacking them. And the other one was pedophiles, right? But you know, so now everybody can get on board with, yeah, pedophiles are bad, yeah. Right? So that's the thing. They're always kind of throwing something in there where it's like, okay, you know, but it's who are they attacking? Because that's all they are doing. The only solution is I, the Manosphere King, follow me and do these things. These will heal all your wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly contradicting themselves.
Yep.
They deny responsibility for everything.
Yep.
But here's your target. And you said something where you weave something in at the beginning. You're talking about our political structure. We see a whole lot of deny responsibility for anything.
Mm.
But here is your enemy. It's very clear.
Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
It's the problem. I alone have the solution, but I'm constantly contradicting myself and changing the target. When you were speaking, I'm just thinking, my goodness, the only clear narrative is this is your target.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. There's some of the things that I've heard some of these very popular ones say that, quite frankly, I agree with.
That's probably the problem, because they weave in things.
Yeah, that have some true elements of truth to it, right? But when I was watching that particular documentary, and I think I told you, I just felt disgusted.
Yeah, sad.
You know, I just felt disgusted. I felt so sad. I was like, how is this like your idea of masculinity? How is this your idea of what a man is supposed to be? You look like an idiot. You look like a fool. You look like a weak, pitiful individual, right? But on the same hand, there are also some women who are followed by a bunch of people who I feel the same way about too. I'm like, that's just not my idea of femininity or what I think a woman should be portraying. I believe that they're just those elements are destructive to society, both of them in their extreme. I don't know what the solution is, but I believe that both of those extreme elements are destructive to society, and it's causing a lot of the problems that we see today.
When I think about this and I focus on the manosphere, because that's what I was locked in on,
mm-hmm.
I thought to myself, all right, I have some serious conversations with OC about life and being a man and being a father and sacrifice and all that. And your directives are very clear always. The focus is on what I can do, what I should do, and that is it. You have never said, there's the problem.
Yeah.
No, Jay Bell, this is what you got to do. Jay Bell, this is what you can control. Jay, you know, it's a bit about the individual. Some of it's hard. I got to do it. I got to change. It takes effort. But there is no enemy. There is no target. The advice is always, hey, look, this is what matters, you know, at its core. And I say that because strong male leadership is the key. All the teams I played on, all I thought was, man, you know, when I first got into New York locker room, I could tell who the leaders was. AP told me. I saw how you guys acted. Cool. I was able to see with my own eyes. I looked at these dudes. I was like, these dudes wouldn't last 2 minutes in our locker room. If they were acting like that, we would suppress that in a way where you ain't acting like this.
Mm-hmm.
We would check that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That would be, I'm like, what? This is not even.
Doesn't exist.
No chance.
Doesn't exist.
No chance. But
doesn't
yet,
exist.
when they're looking down this camera and they're hyping everybody else, they get these people to follow. I was like, nobody would have followed them.
Mm-hmm. I think that, to be fair, we are unique in the respect that when you come into that situation, which is the locker room, nobody cares what you're talking about. You understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
You can talk all day. Ultimately, you're going to have to show me.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand what I mean? Yeah. You're going to have to show me, and you're going to have to show me every single day.
Yeah. Yeah.
All this, no problem. Yeah. You put your helmet on, you know what I mean? You put your pads on, and then we're going to have a conversation. They're on the field.
It's not what you say. Yeah, it's not what you say.
It ain't got nothing to do with what you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
And so the respect is literally earned daily.
Yeah, yeah.
There's nobody who functions in that environment. Even you and I's relationship.
Mm-hmm.
You and I were cool. Like we were cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got injured and I sat there and I watched you. And what happened after that?
I was like, okay.
You understand what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's all we understand.
Yes,
true. That's where we have the advantage over all this. Like these guys can get online. Anybody can get online and blah, 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 talk. But in that locker room, it's a completely different situation. And we had to live that. That's why we behave that way.
Very good point. And you know, I think about the stars and the guys that made the money, right? What would you say on a team? 5-6 guys make all the money?
Mm-hmm. Most of the money.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. You're one of those guys. If one of those guys was to lean on his money and talk about his money like that was his status, no respect.
Done. Finished.
Done. Finito.
Finished.
Done. Like that was always the weakest thing to lean on.
Yeah. Oh my.
It was like you've ran out of anything else to say. You got nothing else. If you went to money, it was like, man.
Get out of here, bro.
I'm not even listening to you anymore. I have lost respect. Yeah. Now, we got beef. Go out, earn it, do your thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's what you did. It's what you did, not what you said. And that's the thing we were always taught. Strong leadership, period. Even with coaches that were leaders, we would ultimately quickly lose respect if you said something and didn't do it.
Yep.
We're not following you anymore.
Done. Everything was example.
Everything, man.
Everything.
I don't know how we find a way to do this. We tie it back into the NFL. We tie it back into sports. This is the beauty of why kids need to be, if they can, in sports.
In sport.
It just something where there is a group of people trying to do something together. You learn a lot about personalities. You learn a lot about leadership, compassion, all of those things that are necessary throughout life. Because right now, when I watched that, I saw a lot of young men, they're looking to belong. And you got to be careful who you follow. They say if you look at, you know, your 5 closest friends, they can tell you your future.
Yep, facts.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and you're looking and you're just like, I always say this and it's so true. I knew who to follow. That was the luck. That was the luck of the dice. Like, they just, like, I feel so bad. Like, why are you following them? And even the guys that are supposed to be the leaders, you look at them, there's always a glitch in the conversation where you're like, you're just a little boy. You're scared and insecure. And it's okay.
Yeah.
But you have now shifted that towards something else that's quite negative. And I'm glad you gave me that homework.
Yeah.
I'm glad you gave me that homework, man. I appreciate that. You said something, OC.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought about this, especially during the election. And we were talking about news sources we read and things like that. And you said something in our conversation about being a citizen of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always enjoyed that with you because of your perspective of where you live, what you've seen. But you talked about a side of that.
Mm-hmm.
That I wasn't ready for.
Yes.
Can you share that?
Yes, yes, definitely. I think, you know, initially what I had said was, I am probably the blackest man in the world, right? I'm the blackest individual in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is not like my complexion, right?
Right.
But a lot of people can speak about being Black, but I have lived being Black across multiple countries, multiple continents, and multiple income levels.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, yes. You know, I've been a rich Black kid in London, in Nigeria. I've been a poor Black boy living in Section 8 housing in Alabama, right in the middle of the projects, having to, you know, work at IHOP, being a busboy and doing all those things. And then I've been to college, and then I've been a rich Black man in the United States of America. I understand what it means to be Black on so many different levels. And the way I process things comes a lot to do with all those different experiences. I don't just look at things from a Black perspective, for as being a Black American or being Black British or being Nigerian. I look at it from the entirety of all of those different places. So that is a tremendous advantage.
Agreed.
But then the downside that we discussed was the fact that because I've lived for all these years in all these different places, I don't necessarily belong to any one of them. Here in the UK, literally I have a British passport. Mm-hmm. Nobody here sees me as being British. They're like, oh, that's an American, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'll go to Nigeria, where my family's from, and my name is Osi Umenyora. And you know what I mean? They're like, okay, well, he's kind of Nigerian, but really he's American. I'll go to America, and they'll be like, yeah, you're kind of American, but really you're Nigerian, aren't you? So I don't necessarily fit in anywhere. And so there's a part of me that lacks that identity of any one country. But on the other hand, because of that, I understand so many different perspectives and so many different ways of thinking and so many different things. So it's an advantage, but it's also like, it feels a little weird, to be fair. It feels a little weird.
Why do you think people want to categorize your experience, like your identity?
It's human nature. It's just human nature. To be fair, the head of NFL UK, I remember, you know, Henry, after he had listened to our podcast last week,
mm-hmm.
you know, he had sent a message about how he enjoyed it. And, you know, I asked him what he thought about it because he's British. Obviously, yeah. he's an Englishman.
Yep.
And he was like, you know, I understood exactly what you guys were talking about and what you were saying, but I'm more interested in where you're from as opposed to what you are.
Mm.
So rather than saying I'm English or I'm British, he's saying something like I'm from England, and he can understand more about a person.
Right.
Do you understand? And that I was like, makes, man, you know, yeah, I've yeah, never thought yeah, of it. Yeah, I've never yeah, thought of yeah, it like that before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because in essence, that's a foundation.
Period. That's yeah. the more interesting thing as opposed to, oh, I'm this or I'm that. No, I'm from here. And so when people ask me, you know, where I'm from, even though I have all these different nationalities, I'm from Nigeria. I feel like I'm from Nigeria. You understand? I thought about that and I really appreciated that perspective. Yeah, to get to your point, it's all these different parts of me and all these understandings. They say if you're a what's the phrase? You're good at many and a master of none.
Yeah. Hey, know a lot. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, man, that's where I'm at. That's how I feel about that. It's interesting.
Shout out to Henry. We went to a great dinner that, you know,
you told me.
It was too far for you, but
yeah.
One Club Row, man, it was good. It was good. Good time.
I'm in bed at 7:30. You invited me to dinner.
I know.
In
I know.
Shoreditch.
It was good though.
Shoreditch.
Yeah, I know. It was. Hey, usually you'll come on.
That means I would have been home at 9:30. That's 2 hours past my bedtime.
That is my fault. My bad. I was chasing great restaurant food. I know you are. You're a culinary expert.
It sounded like you said culinary.
Yeah.
Culinary or culinary? Those are two.
Culinary.
Ranges. I'm not a culinary.
Yeah, yeah. Not your colon. Culinary.
After you drink some milk, your culinary.
Yeah, after my culinary is no longer an expert. It is trying to free itself.
Amazing.
See, this is what I need from you, especially on live TV, man, because I'm always making mistakes, bro. Always putting together. I'm glad you had that conversation because, you know, when you think about it, if you're a leader, he's in a leadership position, and you're trying to figure out people, understanding their foundation gives you an opportunity to where there might be conflict that you can go, I don't know where they're coming from. right? Quite, quite smart. To our point about being a leader, very, very interesting. You know what? I know we love to talk a little bit of popular culture.
Yep.
And I want your opinion, thoughts on Mr. Kanye West.
Yes.
Mr. Kanye West. What is he, Ye now? Yeah. Now, I saw through the media that he had sold out in LA. And I thought to myself, wow, he's back doing shows, kind of like, I was like, Kanye. And then I didn't even know about the whole wireless thing. And then that shows up.
Mm.
For people that don't know, obviously the sponsors backed out of wireless, which put pressure on, obviously, event sponsors. And then the government will not allow him to come in the country to even perform. So they stopped all that. I have a friend who's a rapper. I'm not even going to front him out. He had a tour set up, but he had a felony. So he couldn't even get into the country. So I remember that happened. That tour got canceled. Anyways, throwing it out there.
That's a difficult one for
me. It is difficult. I mean, I'm not.
Yeah. And when I say difficult for me, I mean, he said some of the most abhorrent, horrific things.
Without a doubt.
You could say.
He's tripping.
Right?
Out of control.
Terrible. But does that fall under free speech? You understand? Does it fall under free speech? Is it a situation where you can say those things and you get punished for it, and then we have a whole generation of people listening to music about heinous killing, murder, drill, all types of stuff, like really, really bad things. And that's okay. Like, where do we draw the line? Like, what exactly is hate speech? What is free speech? If I'm making a song, and I'm talking about, oh, I'm gonna wet your mama house, I'm gonna spray everybody up, I'm gonna kill your whole neighborhood, okay, I can say that, I can put that in my song, and we can listen to that, and be like, oh no, that's just autistic, that's just music. And then he says something like he says, which is horrific, but he's still talking, right? So at what point, how do you determine what's bad enough where you deny somebody coming into your country, and what's okay for you to say that now he's allowed to come in and perform? There must have been massive demand for him. Otherwise, none of this would have happened. So you have a segment of people who are trying to listen to what he's saying, understand his music, love his music, want to listen to him. And you have people who are disgusted, rightfully so, by what he said. But where's the line? That's my question. And that's the only thing that I have.
Well, because it is a complex argument. Well, not complex. It's a difficult argument. I will say this to answer that question. The people will decide if there's an uprise and people are saying, nah, this isn't happening. There is response. So to your other point, if people were like, we're not going to listen to this rap music, we're not going to do this, we're going to protest, we're going to do this. Yeah, there would be an halt to it, I guess.
Mm.
When you look at this situation and you think about there, you have the ability to say what you want, but there are consequences to what you say.
Yes.
And that's what this is. You can say whatever you want, but there are consequences. And the consequences are, right now, your wireless festival has been canceled.
I 100% agree with you. 100% agree. And I think that is the right course of action. But I believe there should be consequences for everything, or no consequences at all.
Yeah, well,
that's my belief. I don't believe that you get to say some of the things that we hear in public, some of the things that we hear in songs, in music. I don't believe you should get to say that, and that's okay. But this, you can't. Like, no, you shouldn't say any of that. None of that should be okay. we can't discern which one is worse. That's all I'm saying. That's the fundamental problem that I have. Because some of the things that I hear, I'm like, man, this is some crazy stuff, man. And that's cool. But you go here and you say it is, nah, you can't, you can't, no, no. That's my thing.
Yeah.
That's all.
72 seconds to close. And
you got to close this time. I closed last time.
It's time to close.
Yeah.
Interesting conversation. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed it. When you look at the Kanye situation and you look at where our world is today, and you have a community of people that feel like they should be allowed to say anything, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to repress my voice, my opinion, my this, my that. Okay. The only way we function, and you always talk about this, the societal structure, the agreement, right? Is we play by the same rules. And we think before we speak. There are consequences to our actions. That makes this agreement function. And I think this is the beginning of consequences to extreme actions that people have made through this period. I think that is the only way our kids and this next generation go. Maybe not. I think, you know, we'll see. Let's make sure this applies to everybody. It is interesting. And I appreciate strong male leadership with the friends I have.
I agree. I agree.
I look forward to Wednesdays, my bro. I look
yes, sir.
Forward to Wednesdays. The draft's coming up soon. Lights are about
I'm
to change.
Going to the draft, actually.
Yeah. Tell the people what you're doing.
Yeah, I'm going to the draft. I'm supposed to be announcing the picks for the New York Giants. A pick, not the first round. That's our boy Rogers' job.
Yeah. Are you doing, what round are you doing?
I don't know yet. We'll see. You guys watch and see.
You can't reveal everything. Man, I love this, man. Going back, making it happen. Great convo. If you're watching the draft, when you watch the draft, watch our boy. Take some pictures. You know, send it to us. All love, man. Till next time, the Jason and OC podcast. Always looking for a sponsor, Coke Zero.
Mm-hmm. That's real Coke, not full fat. I don't drink that full fat stuff, man. Full fat Coke in my belly. You joking?
Oh, man. Safe travels, my brother.
Yes, sir.